everyone. What is up? My name is Tony McGeehee, and you're listening to Emerging Entrepreneurs, the podcast made by an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get started. Welcome back to episode 21. We are legal, guys. All jokes aside, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome home. You guys are awesome, and thank you so much for joining me. Michelle Weinstein, or the Pitch Queen as many know her, is a sales strategist focused on helping people sell without sleaze. With over 20 years of sales experience, as well as adding pitching to the sharks on Shark Tank, I knew Michelle was someone I had to interview on the podcast. In this episode, Michelle dives into her journey as an entrepreneur, from working in a corporate environment to where she realized she was meant to be an entrepreneur, to where she is now in her business, and how she fell in love with sales. She shares a great story of how even if you don't know how to execute your idea, that isn't an excuse to not try. Michelle talks about her company, Fitzy Foods, that had clients such as Costco, Vitamin Shop, and the MLB. There is so much packed into this episode, I'm only scratching the surface of what she shares, so be sure to listen to the full interview. Please leave a review and subscribe on iTunes and share the podcast with your friends. Also, please go follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Now, without further ado, let's jump right in. Welcome back to Emerging Entrepreneurs, everyone. Today, I have the pleasure of being here with Michelle Weinstein, aka the Pitch Queen. Michelle is a sales strategist that teaches entrepreneurs how to sell their high-value services to clients without seeming pushy or sleazy, like your stereotypical salesperson. Michelle has over 20 years of sales experience and has even found her way onto ABC's hit show Shark Tank. She also has her own podcast, Success Unfiltered, and a Facebook Live show called Coffee is for Closers. I could go on and on, but Michelle, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you doing this with me.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So just to start, go ahead and tell everyone a little bit about yourself and kind of your upbringing and what got you into entrepreneurship and really everything that got you to where you are now.
Okay. So my name's Michelle. And like you said, I've had 20 years of a lot of sales experience, everything from like pitching to CEOs at billion-dollar companies to getting into Costco, getting into the Vitamin Shop. And yes, I pitched on Shark Tank back. It was season 4 when there were only, I think, 30,000 people that applied and 146 of us got the opportunity to pitch. So wow. I like to say I pretty much sold everything. I have not sold door to door like Kirby vacuums and meat, right? Yeah. Like the meat guys.
Yep.
But I definitely had my fair share of experience of selling at a young age and, you know, learning through that. I got a degree from the University of Arizona in finance. And after college, I got a job as a financial analyst. And I knew that like the corporate gig kind of wasn't my thing. I sat in a cubicle for like 3 years, which I'm sure a lot of people listening might have experienced. And the cubicle life wasn't for me. I got a part-time job at Nordstrom. I was living in downtown Seattle at the time, where that's like where the whole Nordstrom started. I don't know if you ever shopped there, but yeah. none of the girls in my department like me. I was one of their top salespeople. I was doing it just part-time, like during the holidays and their sales to make extra money. And what I would do is just spend all the money I made right there. You know, I have a shopping problem. So they always say people love to buy, but no one wants to get sold.
Yeah.
So after that, I said, well, what can I do that is numbers related and people related, right? And so I quit the job as a financial analyst. I packed up my car. My best friend and I drove from Seattle back to Arizona. So I grew up in Arizona, went to college in Tucson, and I needed the sun. I think I was like clinically depressed in Seattle. It was raining all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. When you would go to work. Okay. So imagine this, my building downtown at Moss Adams where I worked, it was an accounting firm. Had three Starbucks in it. They had one on the main level, one on the second of the bottom, and then it was on a hill, and then the other one was down below. Yeah. I went to Starbucks 2-3 times a day. Oh, I would go to the office. It was dark. I would leave the office. It was dark. I never saw daylight. So I'm like, okay, this is not for me. I moved back to Arizona, and right away I got a job as a loan officer. I went to one interview. They hired me on the spot. Wow. And, I started learning the mortgage business. Well, they offered me a job in California and said, we need a branch manager. I said, okay, well, I've always wanted to live by the beach. So where do I sign up? And they paid me to move out here. That's how I ended up in San Diego.
Yeah.
So I moved to San Diego. I'm a loan officer, or I'm a branch manager now. I was 25 years old or something. Wow. Like that. Yeah. 25 or 24. One of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the financial statements of this office, and I was like, you know what? There is no way this is going to happen. I don't care how good of a salesperson you are. You're going to have to start scamming people to hit these goals. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own. And in the state of California, you needed your real estate license in order to do mortgages in the in California. Mm-hmm. So I got my real estate license and I started selling real estate. And really my inner entrepreneur kind of came out then. I was like, you know what? Working for a company is not my thing. It created a great opportunity for the last 9 months. But I signed a year contract when I came to California and they paid me to move out here. So I had to fulfill that. The last day of my contract, I go to the office. I come with a box. They already had a box for me. I was like, oh, we're on the same page. So I got fired and I went to quit and I got fired all on the same day. I'll never forget Tony. He was my regional vice president. He was the biggest a-hole on earth. And all he knew how to do and communicate to me was by yelling. So I was 10 pounds heavier around. Yeah. 10 pounds heavier than I am today. And I was looking for a personal chef, in a package.
Yeah.
I was eating at the burrito shop down the street. I love Chipotle, but the local Mexican burrito shops in San Diego are amazing. And that's why I was a little bit heavier and I wasn't really eating right, but I knew that there was probably a personal chef out there that I could afford. So I started searching. Nope, nothing existed. And back then the prepared meal space was really small. The only company that existed was in LA. It's called Sunfair. Down by you in Florida, there's a ton still around. But a lot of us have gone out of business since. Yeah. So anyway, in, I think it was 2005 or 2006, seven. I can't remember. That part of my life is kind of in the past.
Yeah.
I took a radical leap and started a food company. So I had no experience in food manufacturing. I just had this passion for health and fitness and eating right. Even though I was eating at burrito shops, that wasn't a first choice. I was also a fitness instructor. So I was teaching kickboxing and boxing at the boxing club. I was teaching spin classes at 24 Hour Fitness. I was all around, but it doesn't matter. You can burn all the calories you want, but if you keep eating burritos that are 1,000 to 1,500 calories, you're definitely going to pack on the pound.
Yeah.
So my mission and passion was, how can we help people change their lives one meal at a time? How can we help people save time in the kitchen so they can take a meal to work, not have to worry about cooking, cleaning, grocery shopping, all that stuff, so you can spend time with your family, kids, go to yoga, go to the gym, and not eat burritos.
Yep.
So that's when my last company, Fitzy Foods, was born. And I always say what I lacked in an experience, because I had zero experience in chefing. I had zero experience in making food. I started the company to solve that problem, right? But I couldn't physically do it. So I always say I made it up in persistence. And my persistence got, we had a retail store in San Diego. We were in 13 locations with Scripps Health, which is the local hospital. Yes, I got on Shark Tank. We got into Costco. I got our meals into the Vitamin Shoppe in New York and New Jersey. So we did a 10-store test. They invested over $1 million in a project like that. I did not get a deal on Shark Tank, nor did you ever see it because it never aired. Two thirds of all the episodes aired, one third didn't. I was part of the one third. Mm-hmm. So imagine going through this whole experience and then at the end, not only did you not get a deal, but like it never happened.
Yeah.
But it did happen because that experience was the best experience of my whole life. I talk about it a lot, like for entrepreneurs, it's like going to the Olympic trials, you know, or like you made it past the trials and then you went to the Olympics and being and pitching in front of like Damon and Kevin, and I had Barbara and I had Robert and I had Mark.
Yep.
Pitching in front of them is like running the 100 yard meter dash. I don't know which one it is, at the Olympics. So, you know, it was definitely the best experience. And, you know, I completely got brutally rejected. I remember kind of even blacking out when I walked out of there.
Oh my gosh. Like,
yeah. I was wearing high heels and my feet started to hurt.
Yeah.
I went out and did my pitch and my legs were shaking uncontrollably. Like I had zero control over what my legs were. But you know, at the same time, like I said, that experience set me up for all those other big wins. So now I see like all the positive, the Costco, the vitamin shop. We worked with a ton of professional teams. So we work with a lot of NBA teams, Major League Baseball, and pretty much all the NFL teams at the time. But that part of my life came to an end in March of 2017. And I was at a crossroads and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, I wasn't able to raise around. I was looking for like $6 to $8 million in funding. Pretty much all the companies were either going out of business or were getting $20-30 million rounds of funding.
Yeah.
Before we made the decision to close in March of 17, The Fresh Diet closed their doors. MyFit Foods closed 50 stores around the country. And Freshology in LA closed. And our investors were like, we don't see a way to our investment. And a bunch of other things happened. I guess when, you know, they say everything happens for a reason. Yeah, I'm glad I'm out of it because now I love life and it's way more fun. And just like before, like every single failure is a stepping stone to something new, right? Mm-hmm. A new adventure, a new opportunity. But I was pretty devastated at the time because I was like, this is not going to look good. And I was more concerned about what people were going to think of me and like how this was a big failure. And that's when I started Success Unfiltered. And I was like, hey, you know what? Like, what if we talk about these like shitty moments and the real stuff that goes on? Cause why doesn't anyone talk about it? And so that's when I started saying, you know what, I'm just going to share the raw, real, unfiltered versions of all these success stories of how they even got there. Because there, what I learned from that is that we're all in the same boat. No one is successful without a lot of major failures, rejections, that big no's that they had to take. So that's like when I started the Pitch Queen. It was April of 2017. I launched the podcast in August of 2017. And, you know, every single successful person, everyone from like Mel Robbins to Justin from Justin's Peanut Butter to Drew Cannoli, they all have major failures that they talk honestly and openly about.
Yeah.
Because that's how they got to 50, 60, 70 million in revenue. It didn't just like happen overnight. I mean, a little luck has happened to some people. And then I was like, what if we all just talk about the real stuff?
Yeah.
You know, no sugarcoating. So that is my history. And that really, honestly, I would say like March of 2017 led me to my biggest why. And now my passion is really like helping entrepreneurs and business owners get over the sales stuff. I can't tell you how many people I talk to. I hate sales. I can't believe I have to sell. And how to not look at it from that point of view, and what if you never had to sell a day in your life? And what if you just saw it as if you were helping people? Yeah. And that you can literally transform people's lives, their everything with whatever product you have and service. Because ultimately, if you don't have sales, which is the part that most of you hate, then how do you have any revenue of your top line revenue on your P&L statement?
Exactly. Right?
Your P&L statement starts with revenue. Well, if you don't have revenue and you hate the sales, then how are you going to increase your revenue? So Yep. Yeah. If you go to like sellwithoutsleaze.com, that's my URL where I help you learn how to actually love selling, get confident with your conversations with people, and never really ever have to feel like you're selling a day in your life ever. Like, I don't feel like I'm selling. I only help people make really good decisions and they get to choose.
Gotcha. So you're, I don't know what you want to call it. I guess your alias, the Pitch Queen, how did you come up with that? And, you know, why did you decide to go with that rather than just calling, you know, just doing it by your name?
By my name. Okay. So I was sitting at my kitchen counter with one of my friends, Sean Croxton, very successful online entrepreneur. Also, if you need a podcast to motivate you each day, he's got a show called The Quote of the Day Show. It's amazing. Over 1 million or 2 million downloads now. He's awesome. We were sitting there. He's like, well, what did you love about your 10 years at Fitzy Foods? I said, I love pitching on Shark Tank. I love pitching to Costco. I love getting Vitamin Shop to see a big vision and that they could be the vehicle to get healthy meals into people's mouths all over the country. They have like 780 stores. Mm-hmm. And each of these opportunities, I was like this small company out of all of our competitors, but they chose us because they believed in me. And I was like, the pitching part was always my favorite. And he's like, well, what about like the Pitch Queen? And I was like, yeah, that sounds really good. Hold on a sec. Let's check every social media handle and website. And there was like one girl in the Netherlands or somewhere out there. She had used the same thing, but she wasn't active.
Gotcha.
And so every single Twitter, Facebook, everything, it was available. And the website, thepitchqueen.com, was available. I'm like, okay, done. And yeah. My last name is Weinstein, and there's a guy who's not so good with my last name out there right now. And I plan to get married. So if there's any like really amazing, successful single guys, you can contact me and I'll vet you out. But I'm going to probably change my last name. So I didn't want to use my full name because a lot of other female entrepreneurs have gotten married. And then what do? They still have to use their old name because they built a brand around it. And yeah. I didn't want to build a brand around my last name.
Exactly. Gotcha. So with what you said about teaching people how to sell and without feeling that way of, oh my gosh, I hate sales completely. Obviously without revealing all of your secrets, how else other than, you know, making them feel like they're just helping people, how else do you get them in the mindset of selling without making it feel like it's selling?
Well, it really depends on what your product or service is, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing I talk about, and we can kind of go through a fast version and then you guys can get the detailed version of it. Just put your email or name and email address at sellwithoutsleaze.com and you'll get like 5 emails from me with worksheets so you can figure it out. But the high level thing, for example, I work with accountants, right? Mm-hmm. And my accountants are, and I'm sure you're the same. Who wants to pay a lot of money in tax? Not me, right? Nope. There's a ton of people. There's nobody who wants to pay a lot in tax. Okay. So we rely on our accountants, our CPAs to help us. Well, a lot of CPAs never thought that they had to have a sales role in their firm, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, I have to deal with the clients. And when you deal with the clients, that is a sales related activity. Mm-hmm. There is an exchange in service and money. And most accountants don't have any plan, but they do solve a problem, right? So what if we just went with the fact that, you know, Michelle pays too much in tax and I'm going to go to a special CPA to have them reduce my tax liability so I pay less to Uncle Sam. That is a massive problem that they're solving. Mm-hmm. And I think for each person listening, you need to be able to solve someone's problem in a massive way. You have to have a big vision, a big, you know, reason why you're doing it. So I talk a lot about like, well, your why. And at the end of the day, for the accountants, it's about, you know, saving the most amount of money for Michelle when I come in as the client. And if you can help me do that, and you can convey the message in a way where I understand it and it's not too technical, then you probably have a new client, right?
Yeah.
But it's really getting down to the problem. And when I talk about problem solving, I talk about asking really great strategic questions. And I think this is where most people miss the boat. So if you're pitching for investment, if you're pitching a product to get on the store to the shelves of Target, if you're pitching like me, my meals to go inside a vitamin shop, I mean, they had to convert and they went through so many things to get refrigerators put in 10 stores in New York and New Jersey. Well, the problem I was helping them solve was, number one, it was unique and different than any other GNC or supplement store in the country. They were doing something different, and they were coming from a preventative approach to health and wellness, where their competitors were just putting more things that sit on the shelf for 9 months.
Yeah.
They were trying something new. In addition to that, the vitamin shop provided a vehicle to solve the problem of terrible eating in America, yeah. Right? Like, everyone's fat, everyone's obese, fast food is sales are really high because ultimately it's easy and convenient. So how do we make healthy food easy and convenient? So notice how I'm like solving all these different problems. That's the number one thing you just need to figure out, is what are the different problems that you're helping solve for your clients. So for me, when I work with my accountants, here are some of the problems, just so you can kind of get an understanding. I help them get paid what they're worth for the high level value service they deliver to clients like me and you.
Yeah.
Right? I help them protect their inventory. What does that mean? I help them not give away all the answers for free. Most accountants and CPAs have a master's in tax. They're super geniuses. They're amazing, but they just feel if a client asks them a question, they should answer. But if they answer it, why didn't they get paid for that answer?
Yeah.
Right? So I help with that. I help them grow an accounting firm full of abundance, meaning how are you going to have the clients that you love to help and serve? How are you going to have the financial abundance? How are you going to have the lifestyle abundance that you're looking for in your life? Okay, I am a problem solver. So when I talk to them, I don't feel like I'm selling. I'm just helping them with a solution to a problem. And if you can like see it from that point of view, it's very powerful. And I just see it as I'm showing them an opportunity for them to get help. They get to choose if they want the help from me, or they can either continue what they've been doing, or they can get help from somebody else.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I am just providing them an opportunity to make a choice and a decision if they want to get help from me to achieve those goals or not. And when you're helping clients or buyers or investors, it's your job to ask really good questions to get to the problem. Mm-hmm. So I like to think of it as like the layers of your skin. You have four layers in your skin, right? You have like the top line where, like me, I have a little peach fuzz, and then you've got four layers of skin, and then you get to the bones. When you get to the bones, you got to the root cause of someone's problem. Mm-hmm. And until you get to the root cause of someone's problem, there's no way you can help anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you just see that you're just trying to help people and get to their problems, then there's nothing, you're never selling. You don't do any selling.
Yeah, exactly. So a common theme that you've talked about now so far is solving people's problems. And so aside from your business and the businesses you've done in the past, what's a problem that you see in the world and in your community maybe that you want to find a solution for, but you haven't found the solution for it?
I think the biggest, I'm like in the sales stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I hear from a lot of people, like if they want to enroll them in a program, or if they even want to go out like on a date, or they want to do anything, fear stops people.
Yeah.
And, I'm taking baby steps to help people overcome that fear. But I think the fear, if you can see it and from a different point of view, fear is really just something that happened in the past where now you've built up this thought and now you're fearful of it. It really has nothing to do with the truth, if that makes sense. And if you can all just clear yourselves of the fear, imagine what this world would be like. Right. And, exactly. And I think I'm doing it slowly through Success Unfiltered and showing you different ways to look at situations. And I've received emails from people like, Michelle, I was able to get the X number of new clients, or I was able to do this. I would have never done that. But the way you put it, I just went and tried it. And like Mel Robbins always talks about this, fear is when we don't take action. Yeah. But when you take action, you build a little bit of confidence each time. Yeah. And I think really fear is a lack of confidence, sort of, in a way, because I'm not really, I've been like rejected so many times, business, anywhere. It doesn't even like faze me, right? I was talking to someone the other day. We were talking about, it's called like Teflon skin or like tape. Like it, you can't even rip it. You just like deflects off. Yeah. Right. And when you get to that point, nothing phases you. But I work with a lot of people and I talk to a lot of people, and fear is, I think, the biggest one. And if humans could get rid of fear, holy moly, what do you think would be created in this world?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right? Funny. Like there would be like everyone going to the moon. There would be like amazing things going on this planet if fear was removed, or if it was like blown up, if we could blow up everyone's fear box, that would be great, because success then would be inevitable.
Yep.
So, when fear is in the way, you're actually stopping yourself from helping someone else or helping someone get to their dream or getting your product into a lot of hands and eyeballs seeing it. You're doing the world a disservice. So fear is actually putting the world at hurt.
Yeah. Good way to think about it. And I think you make a good point about the Mel Robbins thing about fear is more just a side effect of inaction. And I think that's so true, because if you just act, there's no time for fear to set in. So you just act and then you've done it, and there's no time for the fear to set in there. So I have just a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
I know you're busy, so just have a couple more. So, for anybody starting out in entrepreneurship, or anybody who's kind of just started or thinking about starting, what advice would you have for them other than what we've kind of already talked about that maybe you haven't touched on?
I don't know if you're going to like this one, but we'll see. So one of the things I did before I applied for Shark Tank or during the application process is I went and reviewed everyone's pitch. I made a spreadsheet telling me exactly what questions they were asked, how they answered them, everything, right? So I got really prepared. Mm-hmm. And I think in entrepreneurship, I think you need to find like one or two or three resources. And another person I interviewed had a similar thought process, like, find someone who's done what you've done better than you and get them as a mentor. The second thing, there's this really awesome podcast called Success Unfiltered, where I actually interview people about all the struggles and failures they had. What if you just listen to all of them as if what I did with Shark Tank? I knew exactly every question. Like, I mean, Justin had the best one. If you're getting a board of directors, or an advisory board, I mean, he had the best advice. I'm like, damn, I wish I would have known that 10 years ago. Yeah. And in every single interview, there was a few things I even personally took away in the last year that I'm like, wow, I wish I would have known that 10, 12 years ago. I wish I would have known that. And for each of you, I just invite you to literally maybe listen to one a week or two a week and take notes, because that is like the fast track to an MBA program. It doesn't matter how much school you do. Actually, some of the best entrepreneurs I've seen, they don't have college degrees. Yeah, that's just a piece of paper. You know, you need to literally listen from other people who have had the fear, who have had the failure, who have been told no big time in front of major people or have lost deals, that, you know, how can that help you and prevent you from that happening to you in the future? And that's where I think that will help. Not only will it help you, but you can like take action on a lot of stuff. They give actionable steps.
Yeah.
And if I did it for Shark Tank, there's no reason why you guys can't for Success Unfiltered, because literally that is education. It's like free college,
yeah.
free MBA program, actually, not even college. This is MBA type stuff.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. So I do have one more question for you, but okay. before I ask that, just want to take a sec to just show you some appreciation for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking out some time of your day to do this with me. Complete stranger to you pretty much. I know Scott introduced us a couple weeks ago. And so I really appreciate you doing the interview with me.
Yeah.
It's really just humbling really to be able to interview someone who has accomplished as much as you have. And so I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So my last question is one that I ask everyone and it's called the Three Truths. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
Okay. So, I take it from one of my favorite podcasts I listen to, The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes.
Yep.
And so basically it's a hypothetical scenario where it's your last day on earth and you've accomplished everything that you've ever wanted to do. And you've helped all the people that you've wanted to help and solved all the problems that you've wanted to solve. And basically you've just done everything that you've wanted to do, but for some reason at the end of your last day, all of it will be erased and nobody will have anything to remember you by, except for the three things that you write down on the piece of paper that's next to you. So what are your three truths? Take some time. It's okay.
Three truths. I would say don't hold back something you want to say if there's something you want to say and that your voice needs to be heard. That's one.
Okay.
Number two, live every single day as if it were the last. I actually had a personal experience with both of those things where I lost someone close to me, didn't say what was on my mind at times. Mm-hmm. And I would say that you want to live every day as if it's the last, because at any moment, you never know what can happen and yeah. you don't want to regret anything.
Yeah.
So every single day I make decisions also as if it were my last.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would do that. And the third thing, I would say don't be too strict with yourself and be in like 1000% gratitude and grateful for everything. Oh yeah. That's what it would be. Here's the thing. Happiness is a choice. And I think a lot of people forget that, right? Like if you're still alive and you woke up the next day, then you should be super grateful. You should be like flying high on cloud nine. Like when I was a kid, I loved Care Bears. You should be like you're in the Care Bear land.
Yeah.
And being grateful for every moment that you have, because there's a lot of people. One of my really good friends, he always says, I don't know how he says it, but it really resonated with me. Like, there's a lot of people that didn't have the opportunity to wake up today.
Yep.
And how can you go a day without being happy if happiness is actually a choice? So my other friend, Monique, she's a comedian. And at the end of her act, every single time, I've seen it like a million times, she says, get as happy as you can, as fast as you can. And that's what I would say to you today. Those are my three.
There we go. Perfect. All right, Michelle, thank you so much. If we want to connect with you, how can we best do that?
Instagram, The Pitch Queen. My website, thepitchqueen.com. If you want to learn how to sell without sleaze, you can go to sellwithoutsleaze.com and you'll get my 5-step system to take the stress out of selling for good. And you're only going to be helping people. You never have to sell a day in your life. So you just like put your name in your email and you'll get on my email list. You'll get notifications for the podcast so you can take notes, right?
Yeah.
Success Unfiltered is your MBA program and there is no charge for that, just your time.
Yep. All right. Perfect. Michelle, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Guys, we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
What a great interview. Michelle has so much knowledge and experience that we can all learn from. If you want to connect with Michelle, you can find her on Instagram at The Pitch Queen and on her website at thepitchqueen.com. Thanksgiving is coming up soon, you guys, so be sure to show someone how much you appreciate them by getting them their favorite book at audibletrial.com/emerge. Best part about this gift is that it's free. Make sure to head to audibletrial.com/emerge and create your account today. Please, if you've enjoyed the podcast thus far, please leave a review and rating on iTunes. It would mean a lot to me. If you haven't already, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Thank you again so much for tuning in to this episode of Emerging Entrepreneurs. Now, it's your time to emerge.